now listening to Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Hi everyone, and welcome to tonight's Beyond the Veil. My name is Antita, and with me tonight I have Dash. Hi Dash.
Hi Antita.
Hi. And we have Myth.
Hello.
And Galactrix.
Hi.
How are you all? Are you doing good tonight?
Yeah,
I'm doing great. All right.
There was a little bit of hesitation in there. Yes, there's one name that you will surely miss when you start listening to the show, and that is Xander. Xander, unfortunately, has some technical difficulties that he's sorting out at the moment, so he's not able to be here with us tonight. So that's why we didn't have a live stream on, but we're doing our best to bring you guys the news from the community, because there is quite a bit of news that came out in this last week when it comes to the community events. So we wanted to at least have some sort of a recording so that we don't disappoint you guys when you start looking at, you know, your iTunes and your Stitchers and be like, okay, where's my Beyond the Veil this week? Yes, we are trying to do our best. So what are we going to be talking about tonight? We're going to be talking about Tokyo, yet again, for the third week running, like Xander said before. Yes, we're going to be talking about Tokyo for a while to come, and that's how it should be. It's
talking about Tokyo as a slow-burning event.
Yes, right? That was nice. And we have, like I said, some announcements from the community. There is going to be a new 3 versus 3 PvP event starting this Sunday. We have some other events that are coming into the game that are going to be happening fairly recently. Sorry, not recently. What would the word be? Fairly soon. Sorry. When you start the
Antita,
show...
Antita, you're drunk.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, English is not my native language, as you can probably tell from my accent. So sometimes I just get a brain freeze.
Sleep.
No, at 1:15 a.m., no. Not even a wink. But, you know, hilarity ensues. Aww. Xander keeps mispronouncing. I can't remember the words, and yeah, we're just maintaining the hilarity of the show.
How do you guys hold up a conversation between you two?
you know what, when you love each other, you don't really need words.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Oh dear.
I love that. Everybody has something to say about that. Cool. So yeah, I mean, we've talked about Tokyo for, you know, the last 3 weeks, and I have not been on the show for at least 2 of those last 3 weeks. So there is a lot of ground to cover. I do remember you guys talking about Aegis quite a bit, and we discussed it at length last time around. So what do you think about, like, the missions? Have you guys covered the missions so far? Like, what's your favorite mission in the Tokyo expansion pack?
I haven't really done that many, but one that we did where you have to go to all the camps and put down those little diodes that electrocute certain types of stuff. And then at the end, the guy drops a side mission. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the tower defense that's given by Buster,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Did you like the character? Like, did you like the cutscene and, you know, his character in general?
I love Buster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I think him and Moose should go on a bromance date.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can just imagine the two of them talking, and, you know, everybody would just be like, what?
Sharing weapons.
Yeah. Discussing weaponry at Edgar's crapyard in Kingsmouth. What about you, Galactrix? I know you've done quite a bit of, you've done basically everything in Tokyo, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, I think.
So what's your absolute favorite?
Well, I think it would be the same one that Gigabyte mentioned a couple of weeks ago, or last week or something. It's when you go into this, like, creepy youth center, and it's completely empty. It's called the Pachinko model.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done that one yet. Yeah. And it is so creepy because it's like this happy, smiley, like, pictures on the walls. Like, you know, you're walking through a youth center for teenagers. It's completely empty. The lights are out. There's, like, shadows and things moving around in the background. You can't tell what they are. You're wondering all the lore and things you're reading. You're seeing notes that people have left behind. And it's like, where do they go? And in the end, you find out, and it's kind of freaky. But it's one of those creepy moments, like the nursery. Like, they've even got the same dolls in there that do creepy things.
Ooh.
You know. So I won't spoil anything, but it's fun.
Nice.
In a creepy fun.
It's good to hear that Tokyo is fun. You know, it's also creepy in a funny way.
Exactly.
Because it's supposed to be, the atmosphere of Tokyo is supposed to be creepy. This is where it all started from. This is where it all happened. And, you know, it's ground zero, so to speak. And it's going to be really, really nice to actually see the, you know, further behind the quarantine wall. Hopefully we're going to get a glimpse of that in issues 10 and 11, because everybody wants to get to that Orochi Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's like from when Moirin did that, the stream, the 12 or 14 hour stream with the Last Train to Cairo. And, you know, she was brought into Tokyo by Joel Bylos. And that was over a year ago now, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, from that point in time, he was like, yeah, and you see that? That's the Orochi Tower. And, yeah, from that point on, everybody just wants to get to the Orochi Tower and imagining how everything is going to look like. By the way, talking about imagining how it would look like, did you imagine Tokyo, like, when we knew about Tokyo for, you know, since the game began, basically, did you picture it this way, or did you have something else in mind when you started thinking about Tokyo and how Tokyo might look like?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever thought about what Tokyo would look like. I mean, we saw it on the stream. It was kind of like an empty urban area. And it kind of is like that now, except that it's full of filthy creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've populated it. I was expecting like the neon signs, which you've got all around, you know, because it's going to be Tokyo.
Yeah.
And, you know, like blossom trees everywhere and that kind of thing. But yeah, this is like the actual reality of seeing it. It's like, this is cool. It's like, I think someone described it as it's one of the only urban like play fields that we have in the game. Like this is like a city that you're running around in. It's not an empty shadowy forest or, you know, some.
Yeah,
you know,
it's completely different to what we already have in the game.
Mm, yeah, because Kingsworth is like a little town. You know, you've got trees around the place. You know, this is, you've got skyscrapers here. You've got parking lots and, you know, tanks.
You've got concrete all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you guys, Dash and Myth? Has it fulfilled your expectations?
Yeah, I think so, and especially because of how they marked off like the quarantine wall and all. I like that they're kind of saying, "Oh, just wait to see what's over there," kind of thing. Like they're giving you a little taste of Gyo, and then you're gonna see what it's become.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the next part of Tokyo, because that's supposed to be where it's, you know, even worse. And that's just something I can't wait to see.
I think it's going to be like a dock area, because you can see the outline of like cranes in the back over the wall. You can see like, you know, ship container.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what issue 10 is going to bring our way, because issue 11 is just going to be the Arachi Tower and the group content that's going to be put out, namely Dungeon and Raid. So that's going to be also very interesting, and there's a lot of endgame players especially who are actually looking forward to this challenge because of the Aegis. So everybody's like thinking, you know, we already with Tokyo, we got new mobs that are using different kinds of attacks in addition to actually having the Aegis shields, which we need to get rid of before we can even do any kind of damage to them. So, yeah, there's different mechanics, different AoEs, AoE attacks that mobs have in Tokyo. So it requires you to constantly be on the move. So it's really going to be interesting to see what kind of group content Funcom comes up with. That's going to be probably very, very difficult to play. Because, I mean, Tokyo, like, I know Galactrix, you're completely, like, geared up. I'm not by any means, but I'm slowly getting there.
You say that, but you've completed a nightmare scenario, like, solo.
Well, yeah, I can hold my own, but I just meant I'm not in like full 10.4s, you know. I'm still quite some way from there. But when it comes to gear recommendations for Tokyo, Funcom keeps on saying that it's basically geared toward people with purple gear, so meaning purple 10 QL 10. Now I've encountered during my times running around in Tokyo, I've actually encountered people with green and blue gear who can more than hold their own. So do you guys think that you know, in saying that Tokyo is basically for those people with purple gear, do you think that Funcom is kind of not really thinking that I don't even know how to formulate this question, but is it really for just people with purple gear? Because we see other lower QL gear in Tokyo that's doing extremely well. Do you really think it's just down to the gear, or is it also to the abilities, to the builds?
It's probably, you know, a combination of all of those things. I mean, I don't think Funcom are going to say... I don't think Funcom are going to say, you can't come in here unless you got purple gear. I think they just say, we recommend that you come in here with purple gear, because then you won't complain when you hit the floor and die, you know? Mm-hmm. It's... I mean, they're not raising people's expectations to say, you know, if you can't come in here with blue gear, or if they didn't give you a recommendation, you might come in here with all green gear and think, oh yeah, I'm going to do great because I do great in Transylvania, and then suddenly you die. And then, you know, you'd get upset. But that doesn't mean to say that if you had blue gear or green gear, you couldn't survive, because it's about builds, it's about your strategy. When I came in here, I got all purple gear. I died all the time because I didn't know how to use the Aegis at the time. Now I can solo the things that were killing me. It's a case of, you know what they do now, and you know how to avoid that, and you know what powers to use against that, and you know what abilities, you know. It's like the scenarios. They taught you how to, you know, put on a survival build where you're healing yourself.
Yep, there has been lots of talk initially about scenarios being way, way, way too difficult, especially the nightmare ones. And then over time, people adapted and learned how to actually create better decks, better builds in order to actually complete those. And then little by little, you started seeing people with those nightmare scenario accomplishments and achievements. And it was like, oh man, am I ever going to get there?
And then I think last week you even said, like, you can do them in your sleep now, like the elite one, you just run around.
Yeah, it provides, like, the solo elite provides absolutely no challenge whatsoever to me. With the duo, it is sometimes a challenge, depending on what kind of events I get, and, you know, if I press a different ability, if I press it wrongly or not, simply because I've been, like, half asleep. But, those are becoming easier and easier. So I'm really looking forward to the new expansion when it comes to scenarios and trying it out, and, you know, seeing how I do.
Mm-hmm. I like how it's more...
You cut off.
I like how this is, like, giving me a challenge here in Tokyo. It's a new play field. You've got new mobs that do different things. I mean, you know, you can run around Transylvania so many times, like, killing scarecrows. And now you've got whole different things that do different things. I'm being chased by a thing now that's firing circles at me. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, or you know what my favorite one is? When I'm just running in Tokyo, and then all of a sudden something pulls me back. And it's like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get even close to you, but it pulls you in. It has quite a reach. Yeah, especially hate those when my health is down and the taco I've consumed isn't really working, because apparently I was still in combat. Yeah, because tacos, you have to be out of combat in order for them to have any sort of effect on your health.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for that.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can keep on munching on them and nothing having any effect. So, have you guys, like, completed the main story mission?
Yeah.
Okay, I still haven't. I haven't had the chance.
I think we did the first one, but not the second one.
I think I completed the whole quest line and repeated it about 3 or 4 times now. It's, you know, they're on a 3-day cooldown. But I think the first episode when we were in Tokyo, I was like, yeah, there's so much content, I don't think I'm halfway through it. And then the next episode, I was like, I just did one mission and it's over. Yeah, I was close to the end than I thought I was.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I kind of dislike about Tokyo Expansion. While I do understand that there is so much work involved in actually building an entirely new play field, but I'm kind of disappointed that there's not more missions that you can do. There is the main story mission, and in some ways the main story mission with this Tokyo expansion almost feels like an issue before, like issue 7, issue 6, you know, 5, yeah. 4, and so on. Especially because at the end of completing the main story mission, you actually get as a reward, one of the rewards is 10.1 QL10 purple custom finger talisman, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just so, like at the end of an issue. Well, this is issue exactly, 9, so yeah. There you go. And it's like a chain of 6 missions, so there you go. It's an issue. But, yeah. You know, it comes with the whole new playfield, so that's, you know, it's bigger than an issue. It comes with all the new, you know, Aegis creatures.
Oh, no, I completely agree with that part. I'm just saying that I would really have liked that there would have been more missions there.
Yeah, slightly more.
Because when I think of a play field, you know, when you look at it on the map, it just feels big in a way, but then when you start running around, you know, from one mission giver to the next, unless you're actually doing the main mission, it just feels like there's not much to do.
It doesn't feel like there's stuff in between, you know, like yeah. You run past the Love Hotel, but you can't go in there. You run past the mall, but you can't go in there. And you know that they're planning to put things in there. You know, you know we're going to visit the Love Hotel at some point. They've said that. You can see Ricky Pagan on the tree at the Agatha entrance, but, you know, you can't talk to him, even though they said, you know, you're going to meet this NPC. He's going to do cool stuff. And, you know, the mall, there's a rumor that it's going to be the new scenario location, so we can't go in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly my point. There are so many things that are out there right now that we have heard rumors about that, you know, Joel has even discussed in his game director's letter, but it's not in game yet. And it's like, damn it!
It's all understandable, though. It's all understandable, though. They need time to work on this stuff, but it's like a big tease because you're running through it now and you can see it.
Yes, it is. But we also have two new rare bosses in Tokyo, right?
Mm-hmm. For those of us who like hunting rare stuff and getting cool jackets.
Yeah.
Although you don't get anything from this one, but you know.
Not even a lore.
No, you don't even get a lore.
Because some monsters in Tokyo do actually, once you kill them, they do drop a lore.
Yeah. There are two black lures that you can get that drop from extremely rare mobs that, you know, randomly appear. There's one that drops from a bridge that's near Buster's tank, and it drops a black lure, and it's called a hyper-infected citizen. Usually when you run under that bridge, you get like 5 filthy citizens dropping on your head, but then occasionally a super one will drop down, and that's the one that drops the lure.
So does it do any kind of special attacks, or does it have any more health or bigger shield?
I can't think. Remember? I think it has a double shield, you know, 2 Aegis shields. So it's pretty tough. I'm not sure how tough. I can't remember exactly because I was in a group when I was doing it. And there's a second one that's by, I can't pronounce the name of the building, but it's right in the bottom right corner of the map, where there's a roaming colossus, one of those infected colossuses. And usually you just get a normal infected colossus walking around, but sometimes there's a named one called a behemoth of something that looks exactly the same, but he'll drop a lure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So there you guys go.
Yep, so if you're searching for the black lure, that's how you get some of the rare ones that that you might not know where they are. If you get all the black lore, you get a sashimono, which Gigabyte and I were wearing last week. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen people wear it. Honestly, just like Xander, I'm not too crazy about those. Just running around with something sticking that just seems like it's, yeah, I know,
a big flag thing on your back.
Yeah, there is a whole history behind it and all. I just wouldn't really choose to kind of stick it there.
But those aren't the rare mobs you were talking about. There are two rare achievement mobs that you can get.
Yeah.
Like, which are really cool. I don't know if you've seen those. Have you guys seen those?
No, not yet.
They're like these four-legged drone things that have smiley faces on them.
Oh, cool. I've been looking forward to those.
Yeah, exactly. One's called Short Circuit. And actually, those are the achievements for Tokyo Rare Bosses. One is Short Circuit, and one is Shocky's Hideous Grin. So, yeah. Hideous Grin.
Yeah, the other one.
That giveaway there.
it's an Oni that I think wanders around. I don't know if it appears in multiple locations, but I think I killed it near a parking lot that's by the seaside. So in the Oni area where you go do right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of near there. I don't know how often they spawn though, but people were doing them like in a row. I don't know if it's because there are multiple instances or if they just are on a shorter times, you know, respawn. Like sometimes you could get 30 minute respawns, like the ones in Egypt.
Oh my god, I am so seriously behind my rares. It's not even funny. Like,
yeah.
If you want to see what achievements you have, what's available in the game, including lore, all you have to do is press Shift L, and there's a little window that's going to pop up, and you can see three tabs: achievements, lore, and Eternal Echoes. And when you click,
I think it's
on
just L. If you do Shift L, you get the lockout timer window.
That's right. You're absolutely right. So it's just L. Yes. And if you click on bosses and then rares, like, I don't have anything completed. I should be ashamed. I am.
You don't? But we've got all the stuff. Like, you can see Meth and M-Dash have them. I have them. I think Gigabyte has them.
Honestly, I think I know, because Xander wanted to do something with rares for Beyond the Veil, and I was holding off on that, on the hunting for the rares, so that I can go hunt with him. And then we just got completely sidetracked with real life and, you know, even other stuff for Beyond the Veil, that we just never had the chance to do it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get back into that. But I actually have still missions that I haven't completed, believe it or not, like Carpathian Fangs. So I really need to get back in there as well.
Wow.
Yeah, there's still like 4 or 5 that I haven't done in Transylvania.
Yeah, I think I have slightly more than that. That's my confession for today. For this week, I think.
How many missions does it say in your lore journal that you've done in Carpathian Fangs or something, for example?
God, do I have to say it publicly?
This is your embarrassing moment.
Actually, Solomon Island, I have everything. Valley of the Sun God, oh my dear lord, I don't even want to say it. But for anyone who's been following us and listening to Beyond the Veil for a while, they should know by now that Valley of the Sun God is my least favorite place to go.
Oh yeah.
The only reason I have missions completed there is because Galactrix, you, Xander, and I went one day and we were basically just like powering through the missions, going from place to place with you. And it was just like, that was, I think, the only time, apart from maybe events, when I actually had to go there to kill those big guardians. So I'm doing much better in Transylvania. So I still have some ways to go. But that's actually, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all, because it kind of gives me a change of scenery. And yeah. There's still something in the game that I haven't done that I can do. Like, I still haven't completed the master planner for, I think it's a couple of dungeons now. And one of them, of course, is the infamous Health Fallen. Oh, I shudder to think about that. I've actually only ever once went into Health Fallen Nightmare. We tried to do it, like, okay, we're already there, so we tried to do the master planner, but we kept failing with Alpha and Prime. And yeah, so we didn't get it. What about you guys? Do you guys have your Karma Curio? I know you Galactrix do.
Nah.
Yeah.
Well, which ones haven't you done? Are they the same ones that Antigone hasn't done?
I don't even know. I don't have my game open right now.
Yeah, Hell Fallen. In order to get the Karma Curio. And I need that on the Master Planner.
It's definitely a useful thing to have. Like, the Karma Curio, I couldn't, you know, function without it, like, through most of the game. Because, you know, when you're running around with just, like, 4,000 health, you need that little boost sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very useful gadget to have. I'm all for it. The only problem is I can never find a group that, you know, that just wants to go in. And it's usually groups that are, like, completely geared up. I'm talking, like, almost 100% of 10.5.5s.
Wow.
And it's just like, yeah, okay, why would you guys want to go there ever again after completing it on a master planner? But yeah, some people actually love that dungeon simply because it is the most challenging one.
Well, the master planner, well, the difference between master planner and the, you know, just running through it regularly on Hell Fallen isn't that different, because the whole thing is kind of the same, like, you know, the same mechanics. You don't really need to swap builds much. But, you know, there are other ones that are really awful to master plan, like, I don't know, the Ankh or...
You cut off.
Oh,
And you cut off again.
Yeah, I really need to fix this button. But, what did I say, like, before I cut off?
That there is a difference between doing it on a master planner and a regular nightmare dungeon, especially in Ankh, and that's where you cut off.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, you know, Ankh has different mechanics with each boss, like the bridge and then the other kind of things, where the tank needs to swap a lot. So the Hell Fallen is basically the one that people do the least, because it can bug out a lot. The final fight is really buggy. I think last time I did it was earlier this week, and one of the final bosses ran out of the boss area down the stairs, and then we couldn't kill it.
The boss is like, "Yoo-hoo, I'm over here, let's play hide and seek."
Yeah, so that's why it can be kind of annoying to do. But then there are other times where, you know, You go in with a good group who know the mechanics, and they don't fail any of the stuff you need to impair. And I think the fastest time I've ever done that one is 15 minutes, which is pretty awesome. Compared to the times where I've been in there for like 3 hours and couldn't complete it on the third boss.
I think we did, when I attempted it with the group, that was actually a pretty good group. I mean, we did the 24s in, you know, it was just a piece of cake. We were just flying through them. And then when I mentioned that I still need Hell Fallen, everybody was like, okay, cool. It was the Noobmares, just the pug group from Noobmares, and everybody was just so great. And you know, discussed what we need to do, what abilities we need and everything. And yeah, it just wasn't working. I think there was about, I think, at least two of us that were there for the first time in a nightmare dungeon. And even as a DPS, you need to do a lot of impairs for certain fights. And either the impairs weren't on time or the heals weren't all that powerful for some fights. And we just kept dying and dying and dying with Alpha and Prime. And it was just like, yeah, okay, after about, you know, over a dozen kills, I think it was over 15 times. And two of those times we actually came so close to defeating them. And people started getting tired, and at that point in time we were already doing it for quite a long time, and yeah, so everybody kind of called it quits. But yeah, so close yet so far.
So close.
Yes, but yep. I will get there.
You'll get there. I think now that, you know, I run them more regularly, I get used to them, and I tend to do them more, even though, you know, the thought of doing Hellfallen is like, ah. But then, yeah, but it, when you get less scared of doing it, because you know that the group you're going with, is more likely to complete it, you tend to want to do it more. Like, just because it's different, because you can do 24s like every day and then suddenly get really bored of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm looking forward to a new Tokyo, you know, Orochi Tower one.
Yeah.
You know, more things to do.
Yeah, definitely. More things to do is always a good thing, especially for those players who have been in the game since day one. So, yeah, everybody keeps on waiting for any kind of expansion in the game. And it's an awesome game. If this is the first time you've stumbled upon our show, definitely give this game a try. Yes, your computer does need to be up to par for this game. It's very, you know, resource intense, I should say. You do need to have quite good specs when it comes to your computer. Otherwise, you just won't be able to run it properly, and it's just gonna become a source of frustration. Unless you can run it with a good computer, I'd say give it a pass. You can try it. You can always try it and see how it is. But in order to get the full feel for it, and, you know, to get it in its full glory, you do need a stronger computer. That's without a doubt. But there's been I've actually become aware of a raid bug today that has crept up into the game since 1.9 content update. One is actually in New York Raid, with tanks randomly getting one-shotted by Whisper of Darkness attack. And it seems to be the most common while the tanks are actually switching aggro. For those of you who have not been in New York Raid, or who have not completed it but know a little bit about it, in New York Raid you have two tanks that need to keep on swapping aggro, because they get what do they get in Galactrix? They get I forgot what the name is.
It's called Whisper of Darkness, I think. It's stacking it's a stack of 20, you know, debuff things on you.
Yeah, I didn't know what to call them. Buffs, debuffs.
Yeah, debuffs.
Yeah, so you basically have to keep on swapping aggro in order to, you know, not cause a wipe. Otherwise, you actually get And this particular bug, you during the swaps, tanks get just killed, completely obliterated with 1 million damage. Okay, the instant they get 20 stacks. So you know, some people, like I know you have, when we talked about this, Galactrix, you've said that you usually use, because you're also a tank in a New York raid, you use Stoicism and Confuse in order to get rid of the, or rather to get aggro, and then to kind of help the other tank get aggro when it's time. So tanks usually use Provoke and Confuse in order to do that, in order to switch aggro that way. But you have mentioned that you actually use Stoicism and Confuse, and you have not encountered this bug.
Yeah, I've run the raid about 2 times a week, and I haven't ever seen that happen. I've done it like at least a couple of times since Tokyo's been out. I haven't seen anyone instant die in the way you're describing.
Hmm. Yeah, it was posted on the forums today, and other people have said that they have seen it happen, or that it has, they have heard of it, or that it has actually happened to their group as well. So just something to be mindful of.
Do you know if it's since 1.9 or since one of the recent hot patches?
See, that could also be. Also be the thing, because there have been probably around 4 patches or hot fixes since the initial 1.9, so it could very well be that this is something completely new, because the last update was done on the 18th. That was yesterday, I believe. So it could very well be that something has affected you know, that swapping aggro, that it's fairly recent, as in the last 24 hours. But it's always nice when you come across something like that to, you know, contact other players in the game, either through in-game chats. There's a really good one for Noob Mirrors or for Sanctuary. So do join those chats, and, you know, if you encounter any kind of issue that you think might be a bug, you can discuss it with other players in the game. They can tell you whether or not it actually is a bug that has happened to them. Of course, you can always report it directly to Funcom. Always, I would say, do that, regardless, because they need to know what conditions, under what conditions you've actually experienced that. So fill in as much information as you possibly can about the instance that the bug or certain negative experience with the game comes across, you come across. And yeah, it's going to help other players, hopefully, not to have the same thing happened to them. But there's another one also for the Eidolon raid, right?
Yeah.
And you have said that you have actually experienced that one yourself.
Yeah, this one. Definitely experienced myself. I don't know what they did, but there's weird bugs happening in that raid now that weren't there before. Like, normally when you go in there, there's a thing that the boss does, or just anything, or just something that happens during the raid, where you get a debuff on you that's like, you know, at the end of hell rays when you're running around and you get life burn on you. Mm-hmm. You get the same kind of thing, that a damage over time effect on you that needs to be cleansed with cleanup.
Yeah.
And for some reason now people are firing off their cleanups and nothing's happening. Nothing. It doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty annoying, because once you get so many stacks on that, everyone dies, because the healer just can't keep up. And there's other weird things that are going on where the where you're attacking the bosses and then your damage is being reflected back on you. I think there is an effect that does that normally, you know, like the boss will put up a shield and then your damage will be reflected back, so stop attacking. But now what it's doing is it's reflecting your abilities back at you, so if you're afflicting the boss, then suddenly your own ability is afflicting you. It's like I've hit the boss with Bloodsport, which is one of my passives, which afflicts things, and then suddenly I've seen that buff appear on me, and I'm killing myself with my own thing, with my own power. I'm like, that shouldn't happen.
There was also when we were in the sewers in the story mission, it was me, Dash, and Gig. Dash got killed by the first skewers that come out of the wall. And when she respawned, she was still on fire. And she had to die 12 times before it went away.
That couldn't have been pleasant.
Yeah, I think I was around when you mentioned that one.
Aww.
Yeah, okay, but that's all the things about the Eidolon raid that I could think of. Because we just gave up after that. We couldn't complete it.
Yeah, I haven't done that raid since 1.9 altogether, so I can't really say. And I haven't really heard people from the group that I usually run it with complain about not being able to do it. So, and we usually do it. I haven't been able to do it yesterday. But we usually do it Wednesday, every Wednesday and every Sunday. So I'll see on Sunday whether or not we're going to be doing it. Yeah, so those are the raid bugs that are kind of newish to the game. Hopefully, you know, they'll be resolved soon. TM, as Funcom likes to add. But yeah, like we said, we don't know if this is something that, you know, just happens at random, or it's a bug that's more widespread and quite, you know, recent, as in the last 24 hours recent. So hopefully, whichever the case is, it's going to be resolved soon. Now on to the forums. There was a very interesting thread on the forums that spawned a few days ago, well, 3 days ago, I should say, called the Unofficial Derp Support Group. What is this about, you might ask? Well, it's basically a compilation of communities' derp stories, derp moments, embarrassing stories, embarrassing moments. And I think every player, given enough time in the game, usually has one or two of their own. So let's hear it. Guys, what are your own? What do you guys remember as maybe doing that it's kind of like, oh my god moment, or derp moment, or something that just made you feel like, you know, hiding somewhere in the corner and just being like, oh my god, I hope no one noticed.
I feel like that all the time.
Probably any of the investigation missions in Transylvania.
Yeah, why?
No, I know what. Any of the jumping puzzles. I am terrible at those. There is still lore I just have accepted I will never get.
Oh my god, I can so relate. I suck at jumping. So you don't like those? No way, no how.
No, I do not. I mean, like, my settings are all set to zero, and I still am not exactly at real time. And Secret World's controls aren't exactly optimized for platforming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely know that even with the... this is just completely down to me. It has nothing to do with my computer. It has nothing to do with the game. It, pure and simple, has everything to do with me not being able to jump. I just suck at jumping in the game. So much so that there was actually one lore in Bloom Mountain, where the mine is, and just above the mine, that you actually had to jump across in order to get the lore. And I kept jumping and falling and falling and just getting frustrated. And finally I gave up and I was like, "Hun, can you help? You do it for me." And he did it from the first jump. And I'm like, "How the hell do you do that? How? Teach me how to jump." Yes, so I can definitely relate. I still remember that first time that I ran Last Train to Cairo, and anyone who's run issue 6 with me knows how many times with
the one in the date factory.
Oh my dear lord, that was just embarrassing on so many different levels.
And because we were all there watching you.
Yes. But not only that, but it's just so embarrassing because I just want to quit and just, okay, I'll come back on my own when no one's around. But everybody's like, no, give it a few more tries. And everybody's laughing their asses off at me. And it's just like, yeah. So when I actually got it, no one could believe it. It was like, oh my god, she got it! Yeah. That was pretty, that was a derp moment for me. But there was actually an even bigger one, and you guys were all there. By the way, if you guys are wondering why Dash is not talking, her ping is really bad, and she's breaking up bad when she's talking, so she's just listening right now. Hi, Dashy! And, yeah, so one of the really fun experiences, even though I messed up big time, was in Polaris Nightmare. We were doing the Ordraug. I was tanking. And I was relatively new to tanking back then. But I was just having fun. You know, nobody in the group at that particular time was tanking. So I took it up and kind of flew with it. But so there we are, you know, with the Ordraug, and, you know, I'm tanking and Galactrix was healing me. And he's like, yeah, for some reason, you're really difficult to heal. So I'm like, well, you know what? I have a heal tank deck that maybe I can give it a go. So we're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. And it's a brand new deck for me. You know, I've never used it before, so I'm like, well, how difficult can that be, right? So there I am, and it was a Blade Chaos deck. And there I am, you know, hitting off Blade Torrent, Blade Torrent, Blade Torrent, and then all of a sudden I see one ability that I have not really used before. And, you know, it's a Chaos ability, and I'm like, well, you know, I wonder what this ability does. It must do some sort of damage, or maybe it's an impair, but, you know, I have impairs, so I can shoot one off. You know, it's not going to cost us anything, not with Ordraug anyway. The only thing that you might need to impair is the Cosmic Gaze. And so I'm, like, hitting off Blade Torrent, Blade Torrent. I'm, you know, standing where a tank should stand at the final fight, and all the DPS and healer is at the Ordraug's butt. So I hit off this ability, and then all of a sudden I dash forward quite a bit, and I'm all like phased out, like, what the hell? All of a sudden I'm looking at Ordraug's butt, and it was just like there's this great eruption of laughter, because I immediately, as I dashed forward, I realized where I was, so I rocket jumped back to where I was, where I should have been. And there's this huge, huge eruption of laughter as I'm panicking and pressing Blade Torrent again, trying to get aggro again, and, you know, hitting off Art of War and everything else that I have just to get the Ordraug's attention on me. And everybody else is laughing their heads off at me, just going like, what the hell was that? And Galactrix just laughing his head off, going like, I've never seen DPS scramble so fast. It was just one of those epic moments that I think I'll always remember, even though I failed miserably. So yes, from that on, and if you wonder what ability that was Helter Skelter.
Yeah. I'll just read out M-Dash's one, because she's on here as well. Apparently she was doing the Jack Halloween quest, and she had the option to the last pumpkin to summon Super Jack, and then her cat jumped up and made her put it down too early, and she screwed it up. Because, you know, you have to put down the pumpkins in a certain order in a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And a cat jumped onto her mouse and screwed it up. And then, you know, because you lose your pumpkin, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Aww.
Yep. And it was the rarest pumpkin as well. Well, you know, maybe that'll be back again this year, and then we'll have a go at that.
And try saying that in chat, or, you know, to other people that you play with. It's basically equivalent to, you know, you basically have to say, I'm so sorry, my cat jumped onto my mouse and screwed it all up for everybody. And it's like equivalent to, you know, going to school, going like, teacher, I don't have my homework because my dog ate it. Yeah. So what about you, Galactrix? Do you have any funny stories to tell? Because you've been in the game the longest.
I've probably got horrific ones to tell, but I think I blanked them all out of my mind because I can't think of any. I've got loads and loads of, like, derp moments, though, you know. When you're tanking and then you miss an impair, or you do something ridiculous and then you fail, when it was just, you know, something simple like, you know, like I've done the same thing that you did with the air drag. I've accidentally pressed flicker and then flickered forward and teleported, and then the air drag turns around and kills everyone. You know, the crazy things like that. I've done self-derp moments where I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Like I was crafting augments and I had like these three healing ones, and I'm like, yeah, they're really rare and I'm going to combine them and then put them in my wheel. And then I should have checked first because I already had that one. So I crafted another one with all these materials that I wasted and all this stuff, and it was like, no, facepalm. And you know, there's just so many of those things you do, like you're doing an achievement like custom magic and you're jumping around and you fall down and you're like, ah, you know, all those kinds of things you do, like you're trying to achievement. And then I did one the other day. I'm running around Transylvania doing that mission where you pick up from the girls at the windmill, and you go into the werewolf cave place. And because I've done that so many times, I ran through the entire thing. I saw that there was a group of people doing it in front of me, and I just ran past them because I'm like, you know, I know what to do next. I know where to go. I'm going to kill the boss and then get out of the way. And then I did that, and I was on my way out of the cave when I realized that the tier on the mission hadn't, you know, gone to the next phase. It said still look for these mobile phones, and I'm like, what? And I realized I skipped a step because, you know, you do the mission so many times you think you know what you're doing, but I obviously missed a step. And so I run back in there, I run back up to the top, and these people that I passed by are fighting the boss, and then a second before I reach them, they kill the boss, and I don't get credit, and I have to wait like 5 minutes for them to, you know, for the bosses to respawn again. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, another one of my favorite is with Machine Tyrant, when you hit off cleanup way too early and then pray that no one's going to notice that it's missing. And maybe, you know, you have a win-win with you and you just hope and pray that everybody's close enough to be affected by it.
Yeah.
That happens quite a number of times, and it happens to different players. There's been so many times that, you know, someone in my group just posts in chat or says it in TeamSpeak, like, what happened with CU number two?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, with a smiley, because you know, if it's not like that people forget, but you can also see the animation of it, you know, there's that like the white glow.
Yeah, people can see when you do it.
Yeah, you can't really see it. Or there was one time in with the Darkness War, the very last boss, you hit off Provoke and Confuse. And there are certain groups that just kind of pump their way through it. They just power through that because of the sheer DPS that they put out. But, you know, if you don't have that much DPS, then, yeah, it's advisable to have Provoke and Confuse. And then if you put it, you know, where usually another ability that you hit off is, it can very well happen that you hit at least one of those abilities way too early. And then when it's time for you to use it, you can't because it's on a long ass cooldown. And you're like, yeah, this is going to be a wipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That actually reminded me, I was in Hellfallen like a couple of hours ago, and I'm using a pistol sword tanking deck that I put together just for that dungeon specifically, because it has win-win on it. And you know how on the first boss you need two win-wins?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'll do it, you know, because I've got this, I can do it now as a tank. And I'm like, yeah. And then the first one goes off, and then it comes to my turn, and then I'm about to do it. Everyone's got the chains around them, and then the boss impairs me, and I can't do it. And then everyone dies, and like they're looking at me like, where was the win-win? No. I'm like, oh. I'm like, don't blame me. The genie impaired me. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that's probably why the tank doesn't do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's plenty more stories like this, and you know, that every single player in the game has, whether they like to admit it or not. But this little thread that we found on the forums is it's getting fuller and fuller by the hour. Right now, there's about 10 pages of people's confessions.
You got hilarious ones on there, like Arcade Tim's told us that one where he's doing a master planner and then he changes gear and then everyone's looking at him.
Yeah,
it's like I haven't done that before, but I've run master planner groups where people have done that before. It was a really hilarious one where we're doing master planner facility. And then we beat a boss, and then it drops a really cool shotgun. And then the guy goes, ooh, I wonder what this looks like. And then a second later, he realizes it's master planner, but it's too late because he's put it on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I haven't done anything like that.
Yeah, and it's just like, I think Tranya put something like that. Yeah, and I'll just read it out. Hellfallen Master Planner, last boss. Tank needs bio break. Someone says in chat, hey, how does that hammer look like that just dropped on last boss? Wait, I'll show you. Three voices. No! Master Planner challenge failed. Silence. Oh my god. No, it's really, really... And the thing is, this is a very common one. Whether people, you know, just want to show to others how it looks like, or they just are so really happy that they finally got this, you know, piece, of, like, talisman or weapon that they actually need. You know, that's much better than the one that they've already got. And it's like, yeah, Master Planner Challenge failed. Yeah, but RK Tim has mentioned before that his Cabal will never let him live that one down. Yep, so there's, if you guys want, I'm pretty sure that we'll be posting that little forum thread on our Twitter, so do check it there for the link. Now onto the events that we have said are going to be happening soon in game. First is a PvP one, which is a 3v3 seasonal Sunday showdowns. Now, what's going to happen is that every Sunday from June 22nd, which is this coming Sunday, through August 24th at 3 p.m. EST, which is 8 p.m. GMT, people who are interested in doing this 3v3 event will gather in the Soul Fight Club starting around 2:30 EST. Okay, from those people who attend Soul Fight Club and are interested in attending the event, not just being the spectators, random three-man teams will be generated. And each randomly generated team will fight one best of three matches every week. If the team you're on gets the win, then you as an individual get that win recorded, which is basically plus one for you, plus one win on your record. If the team you're on loses, then you as an individual gets a plus one loss on your record. So you can basically score a plus one win or a plus one loss. And basically, they're going to be doing this every Sunday from June 22nd to August 24th. So there's going to be like, what, four Sundays? Four, maybe five Sundays. It's going to be a cumulative. So the individual that gets the most wins recorded will obviously take the first place. There's no prizes advertised as of yet. This event is basically advertised as mainly being there for fun and just to be a change from current PvP areas, El Dorado, Stonehenge, and Fusang. And they do give you a fair warning if you plan on being disrespectful or exploiting permastun and other PvP glitches. Don't even bother attending, and please, you know, be nice. If this is something that you find interesting, you would definitely like to attend if you possibly can. Do send a message in game to, now I'm gonna butcher this name, but is it Jaguar? Could be J-A-G-O-U-R. So send him a message in game or on the forums if you are an active forum member. And you can also post in the forum thread, which you can find under the PvP portion of the forums. So that's for the PvP event. It's actually nice to see PvP community, you know, doing these kind of events. We've also had the Test Live PvP event in El Dorado this past Wednesday that community manager Tomium has even recorded. And it's a lot of hoot. It's a lot of hoot. It was just really, really funny to watch them. To watch them all try to kill Tomium. Now, another...
I'll have to check it out, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we also posted that link to that particular Funcom Twitch channel. There's a link to that on our Twitter feed as well, at BeyondTSW, so do go there and check it out. Another event, which is actually coming up in July, is by Sanctuary, Memories of the Future. And this event is supposed to mark the 6 months since Sanctuary was created. Sanctuary is an in-game chat channel that is basically dedicated to helping other players, you know, whether you are offering help or needing help, or just, you know, looking for somewhere to talk about the game. So, you know, it's a sanctuary from all the other chat channels. So you can go there and just hang out. It's almost like the becoming the social part of the, you know, social channel of the game. Another one being the Noobmares. But Noobmares is more of a channel for people who are not completely geared up yet to actually look for players who, you know, would like to team up, group up to do dungeons. So that Sanctuary, Memories of the Future, is going to be happening beginning July 7th. And throughout that week, July 7th is, I believe, Monday. Let me just double check. Yes, it is. So beginning July 7th, for the duration of the week, every day Sanctuary will be hosting some sort of an event. Okay, again, there is a forum thread on this, and this is where you can find out everything there is to know about these events that are going to be taking place. We will, of course, again, be posting the link to this particular thread on our Twitter feed, so do check it out from there. If you can, you know, you can, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but you can look, you are able to look at the forum threads even though you're not a registered user, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, right now what they have planned so far is a mystery event on the 7th. There is a fantastically fashionable dance quiz on the 13th. And another event, which they have incorporated into this entire week, which is just happening on this particular week, is the Cabal Recruitment Fair. Now, that particular event is actually happening on Saturday, 12th of July. It's starting at 1800 GMT to 2100 GMT. So that's 6 to 9 GMT, where representatives from cabals will be there to promote their cabal and to answer any questions you might have. It will also be a fantastic opportunity to network and meet other people. There is, so far from what I can see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, there is 11 cabals that have already signed up. And there's multi-faction cabals out there. There's you know, EU-based cabals there, Templar only, Illuminati only, Dragon only. So there's Nine Swords, Cerberus, the Storm Chasers, you know, the Phoenix Group, Omnidatum Optimum, the Crimson Cross, the Arcane Light. There's, I'm pretty sure there's going to be even more as we near that particular date. So do check that out if you do not have a cabal. Of course, Beyond the Veil also has a cabal. It's a relatively small cabal in comparison.
That just means we need to be there.
Yeah.
Network.
Yeah, know? Exactly. No, we will try our best to be at, you know, to report from these events, considering it's going to be the game's second anniversary on the 3rd of July. We actually have our own little, you know, contests and giveaways that we're going to be doing, and we're going to be unveiling that very, very soon. BTM. Yeah, right.
Beyond the Unveil.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned Tomium's live stream of Test Live PvP event in El Dorado, but what we did not mention, and which is something that I wanted to, is the fact that, Tomium, as you guys might know, is the newest addition to the Secret World team. He's going to be assisting Sesmra, our community manager, and helping her out, because she's also the community manager for the other two games, Funcom's games, Anarchy Online, and I forgot what was the other one?
Age of Conan.
Age of Conan, yes. I know they both begin with A. As you can tell, I don't play them. I do not know. I'm sorry. So he's going to be assisting her in the duties of the community manager. And he's started on an excellent note. And we're hoping to have him on the show so that we can find out more about him and what goodies they have planned for our community in the future. One thing that they've already started doing is live streaming every Friday. So we don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing. I don't think at this point they even know, or maybe they do, they just don't want to get our hopes up. But if you are in game Friday afternoons, I think, is it Galactrix, was it your afternoon, or was it like, you know, North American afternoon when they were doing that live stream?
Probably North American. North American afternoon, because it was the evening for me, I think. I don't play during the day, so it must have been.
Yeah, so that's basically, say, from 2 p.m. EST onwards, that they might be doing the live stream again. If you really, really, really want to know if they're going to be doing another live stream tomorrow, tomorrow is Friday. Well, for me, it's already Friday. But you can definitely, send Tomium or Sesmra a tweet on Twitter and use hashtag BlameTomium. Okay. So I'm pretty sure he checks up on that. So you can see them in game. You can see them on the Funcom's official Twitch channel. You can check out the live stream there. There's already two recorded ones. One of them is the actual recording of the Test Live PvP event that happened this past Wednesday. So I really do hope that there is more live streams like that.
I do as well. They're pretty cool. I think I mentioned before, like on the previous show, that I was just in game, I saw them logging in, and that's how I found out about them doing their first live stream, which they didn't record. But then the Friday after that, that's the one that's the other recording that you mentioned. They actually did run around Kingsmouth, and it's pretty cool. And I think they do advertise it on the forum as well. There was a forum thread I saw that was like, "We're about to live stream," and you know, I think they tweet them out, but I think after they're running.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the best way to do it is probably in-game, like, just friend them in-game. Because I think Tomium's character is called Blame Tomium, so as soon as you see that login, then you'll know that they're doing something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Sesmra's is Cookie Spell.
Yep.
If I'm saying it right. Yep, so, well, you can always use hashtag Blame Tomium if you're on Twitter. Now, the last thing I want to talk about today is the fact that certain mods are not working properly or are not working at all since the introduction of the new content update 1.9 or Tokyo. I haven't really had any issues with it, but then again, I had to reinstall my game fairly close to 1.9 release. So when it comes to Valet, which is a mod for, it's basically your wardrobe helper, you know, you can create your outfits and save them there and just, you know, change them. You can create as many as you want and then just change them at the click of a button. This mod you can get from Curse, but since 1.9 update, it doesn't seem to work properly. It doesn't save the outfits, new ones that you create, and it doesn't correctly change items or outfits that you already have saved. Now, this is due to Funcom changing where some items are actually saved in the backend. And Valet mod actually needs to be updated with this new info before it can work properly. The only problem is, you know, there's a lot of mods for TSW that are pretty outdated and that are not being maintained anymore. So if you do have a Valet mod on, please remember, you know, that it will probably at some point in time not work properly. Even if the new version is, you know, if the person who created it does come back and actually start updating it, you will need to uninstall and install the old one that you currently have and install the new one in order for it to work properly. Just saying. Now, Galactrix, you had a mod that's very similar to Valet that you have started using, and it's working perfectly fine. Tell us something more about it.
Yeah, a lot of other people use a different one called Valerie's Fashionista.
Yeah, that's what we use.
Yeah, that's what you use. And because Valerie's still around, and she also makes the other a whole bunch of other mods, like the Friends Enhanced one that I'm using, and I think you guys are using it as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you extra things in your Friends menu. And, yeah, so she updated those recently. And it seems to be a good replacement for Valet because it has a Valet import option. So as soon as I logged in, I had both of them still installed at the time. It said, do you want to import all your Valet outfits? So I said, yeah, sure. So I got all my outfits imported. There's no problems with them. They're all still there. I didn't lose anything. So I'd recommend that one as a good replacement.
There you go. So instead of Valet, try using Valerie's Fashionista mod. And that's also available from Curse, right?
Yeah. I think all of the mods that I do come from there, because they're all in the same place.
Yeah, it's a pretty good website for anything with regard to modding in the secret world. All right. And with this, I think we've come to the end of the show. Unless you guys have something to add.
Yep.
Nah.
All right. Well, hopefully we gave you some pointers, some hints, some tips on, you know, what's going on in the game. And if you guys have any questions, you can always write to us at beyondtsw@gmail.com. You can always find us on Twitter at beyondtsw. And you can always contact us through those two mediums and, you know, ask us any questions. If you have any, or, you know, if you just have a comment about something, feel free to email us or tweet it to us, DM us, and all that nice jazz. And, yeah, hopefully next week we're going to have Xander back and we're going to have more of our regular cast that has been taken away sort of today due to real life. And, yeah, hilarity, as always, will ensue next week. So stay well and tune in to Beyond the Veil then. See you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Broadcast as Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at BeyondTSW. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email to BeyondTSW@gmail.com, and join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Beyond the Veil, a place where hilarity always ensues. Thank you.